Today we're going to talk about something that I think is really important, especially in such formative years of your life as college students. We're going to talk about friendships today. Friendships are extremely important because God invented friendships. God literally created us for community and for connection with Him and with each other. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, He created Adam, and everything that He said was good until He needed a suitable helper for him. And He said, now creation is very good. That what makes things good to great is how we interact with God and how we interact with people. So friendships are extremely important. And this is what I believe from my experience in ministry and from what I read in the scriptures. When we get friendships right, we set ourselves up for success in every important area of our lives. But when we get friendships wrong, the inverse is also true. That we can create problems for ourselves in almost every area of life if we hang out with the wrong crew. So we should turn to the scriptures to see what they say about friendships, to see that what they say about relationships and how we should interact with other people. And the Bible has a lot to say about friendships. One of the most wisdom literature book focus of the scriptures is the Proverbs. And so there's a lot of good information in Proverbs, specifically chapter 17 is one of my favorite verses in Proverbs. Check out this definition of friendship. A friend is someone you may or may not know well who accepts your friend request on Instagram. This person is born to like and comment on your posts and to make you feel good about yourself. Now, some of you are chuckling and laughing because you know that this obviously doesn't come from the Bible. This is the IG version, right? Instagram version. We laugh and chuckle about this, but this is what I believe our culture has defined friendship as today. We've twisted it and we've gotten it wrong, and we've distorted friendship so much from what God has actually focused it to be that we interact with our friends on screens instead of face to face. This is what Proverbs 17 actually says. 17 verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. How hard is it to love via a screen? It's impossible. Love is a verb. Love is actionable. Love happens in community, face to face. And as we look around at what's going on in our culture, there's a sad truth that we need to understand. Friendships are declining. Friendships are declining rapidly, and there are some reasons for this. There's probably more reasons than we have time to think about together today, but I'm going to share three of these reasons why friendships are declining today. One is increasing work hours. As you study the trends of the United States of America, the average American United States, we work way more hours than we did 25 years ago. We're filling up our schedules to try to feel important, to try to be productive, and in the process, we're losing some important relational aspects of life. A second reason for declining friendships is that there are rising divorce rates. And this seems silly, but you know what happens when someone gets divorced? They have to split everything in half. They lose their money, they lose their homes, they lose their cars, and guess what else gets split in half? Friends. Having to choose sides. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you've been a product of this. And it's difficult. A third reason why friendships are declining is because of the explosion of social media. Now, I want to tell you this. I am not anti-social media. But according to many experts on the topic, this is one of the top reasons why friendships are declining today. Social media can be a great tool. It can be a great way to stay connected with people. It has many benefits. But what we have to realize and acknowledge is that the impact that social media is having on our friendships and relationships is destructive. Social media is redefining the meaning of a friend. Think about this. Before Facebook, before Twitter, before TikTok, before Snapchat, before Instagram, nobody ever called their friend and let them know what they had for breakfast that day. and said, hey, check out your mailbox because I'm going to send you a picture of my bacon and my eggs and my pancakes and let you know how good it was. But we do that today on social media and we gather likes and we gather comments and we think, ooh, look at all my friends. And we lose out on that face-to-face relational influence. Another thing that we need to understand is that social media is creating an epidemic of deferred loneliness. An epidemic of deferred loneliness, where we post something with the expectation and the desire that somebody's going to see this and care enough to share me, to give me a share, to give me a like, to comment on this. And we think, ooh, that felt good. Did you know that scientists have actually studied the human brain and what happens when you get a like on social media? It releases dopamine in the brain. And it feels good, and we feel cared about. And then we know what happens, we chase after that. But what we're doing is we're chasing after fool's friendship. You know the concept of fool's gold? You find some and you think, oh man, I've struck gold, I'm rich. And then you go to cash it in and find out that it's worthless. We're chasing after fool's friendship. And social media is creating this epidemic of deferred loneliness, this illusion of intimacy that we have in our lives. Social media can supplement relationships, but it cannot replace them. If you're taking notes, I want to ask you to write that down. Social media can supplement relationships, but it cannot replace them. And so I believe that we, especially as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to rediscover the lost art of friendship. So we're going to take a look at a couple questions today. What kinds of friends do we need to be? Who should we be to the people around us when it comes to who we are as followers of Jesus and how we should be in relationship with each other? And the other question that we're going to consider is, what kind of friend do I need to have? Who do I need to surround myself in my life with? How do I need to relate to those people so that I can follow Jesus the best that I possibly can? First, we're going to take a look at the question of what kind of friend do I need to be? The first thing that we need to do as a friend is we need to commit to being present. Be present. Show up. It should be boring how predictable your closest friends are to be there when you need them in their life. You know, one of my biggest fears as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a pastor, is hearing the words, I needed you, and you weren't there. Be present. Make a commitment to say, I will develop my friendships face to face, not thumbs to thumbs. I will develop my friendships face to face, not thumbs to thumbs. Think about this with me. When Jesus invited people into relationship with him, when he called his disciples to follow him, he didn't say, hey, read this book. He said, walk with me, talk with me, live with me, follow me, be present. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, phones were just sort of starting to come out. I know I'm not that old, but, you know, I had a flip phone in ninth grade, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I could play Snake while I waited for the bus. But when I was a kid, it was my parents always constantly nagging me to get off my phone. Maybe some of you were there too. Do you know that today, in the average household in the United States of America, that has flipped? And it's the kids who are complaining to their parents, get off your phone. Mom, Dad, why are you always on your phone? I'm hungry for relationship. I'm hungry for face-to-face interaction. How sad is that in our culture today? Man, oh man, I need to develop my friendships face-to-face, not thumbs-to-thumbs. Check out what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another toward acts of love, which again happens face-to-face, and good works, which happen face-to-face. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, and encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. Ladies and gentlemen, there is power in presence. Let's not lose the sight of the power of presence. You know, when I was a young pastor in ministry, I worked at a church called The River. And when I was there, one of the things that we liked to do was to go out and spend time together as a staff. And we had this kind of policy in place that when we went out and shared dinner together, everybody put their phones face down in the middle of the table. And the first person to touch their phone paid for lunch. Let me tell you what, around those lunch tables, we had some deep, meaningful conversation. We were able to share some really cool things that maybe if we were just too caught up in our phones, we would have missed out on. Who knows what hangs in the balance? Who knows what you might miss when you don't look up from your phone to see the needs of somebody else, to invest in somebody else? You know, similarly, when I was a young married couple, my wife and I, we had a little tabletop cage with a lockbox. And when it came time to go to bed at night, when we put our little daughter to bed, we would put our phones in the cage and lock it up. And from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we had no phone time. Where we were able to just be together. Now, we would watch some TV shows and things like that, but it was something that we were engaging in together, not face down, but eyes up. And what happens is when we live with a face down head, we live with a closed heart. We need to open our eyes. We need to lift up our heads. We need to open our hearts to have connection, genuine, intimate connection with people. So, be present. Second thing that we need to do as friends is we need to get open. Don't be so superficial anymore. This is another thing that social media does to us. It causes us to be so concerned with people's perception of us instead of concerned with the actual relationship which exists between us. We keep things surfacey. We don't ever want to get too real or too deep. We only want to share things that make us look good. We focus on our strengths instead of sharing our weaknesses. And what we need to understand about the way human beings connect with one another is that we may impress people with our strengths, but we truly connect with people through our weaknesses. Some of the greatest moments that I have had in my life of relational connection with my friends were in times of trouble, times of need. And I can look back and I can remember the people who walked through that with me. I can remember the people who prayed alongside me. But I can't tell you anybody that liked my Facebook post while I was in need. Get open. Be honest. Take a look at what James says in chapter 5, verse 16. James says, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is one of those equations that we see in the scriptures. Why do we see such a lack of healing in our world today? Why do we see so many friendships and relationships that are broken? It's because we're not focusing on the connection that happens in prayer. Side to side, confessing to one another, living together, keeping each other accountable for living the life that we're called to live in Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Pray together. Then you will see healing. We got to share our weaknesses with one another so that we can build those types of bonds together. Be vulnerable, connect with one another, be present, and get open. Two simple things that we can do to be better friends to the people around us. Be present and get open. Now let's shift gears a little bit. What kinds of friends do we need to have? Who do I need to surround myself with in order to be the best follower of Jesus Christ that I can possibly be? Because this is what I see when we read the scriptures. It's a truth that I believe is actually impossible. That it's really, really hard to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. It's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Just think about it. Any time that you have done something in your life that you truly regret, how many of us did that in isolation? Most of the time, there's somebody that we can point to and blame and say, well, it's because I was hanging out with this person and I started to think that that was something that was cool or desirable, whatever it is. We need to be careful with who we surround ourselves with. Take a look at what Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. He says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Hanging out with the wrong kind of people will lead you down a bad path. And I love that he says, do not be misled. Because the easiest person to mislead is the person you see in the mirror every morning. Well, I'm strong enough. I have self-control. I can hang out with these people and in these scenes and doing these things, and I can resist it. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. In other words, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You know, scientists have studied this, sociologists have studied this, that the average person becomes like the five people they hang out with the most. So who are you hanging out with? Who are you spending the most time with? We had better be intentional about the five people we're hanging out with the most, because statistically, we're going to become like them. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. It's a pretty simple equation, right? Hang out with people who are where you want to be, who are doing the things you want to be doing, who are helping make you a better person. Why? Because influence is inevitable. This is a truth in life, that influence is inevitable. People will have influence on us, and it will either be positive or negative. We can flip that on its head, and the opposite is also true. We will have influence on the people around us. So what kind of influence are you on the people you're hanging out with? We need to have some commitments that we make to ourselves when it comes to what we will allow and what we will not allow when it comes to our friendships and our relationships. There are a couple commitments that I made years ago that helped shape me and form me spiritually when it came to selecting spiritual friends. And I want to share those with you. Maybe they'll be inspiring for you as well. There are two things that I will not let my friends do. One, I will not let my friends distract me from God's plan. If I discover that there are people in my life that I'm spending time with and hanging out with, and they're starting to distract me from what I know God wants for my life, man, I need to distance myself from those relationships. I will not let my friends distract me from God's plan. Take a look at what Jesus says to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. When Peter is taking Jesus' attention or encouraging Jesus to do something that he knows is not what God wants him to do, Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." I would not encourage you to say, get behind me, Satan," to your friends. It may not end well. But do you have the self-control, the wisdom, the courage to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm realizing that I need to distance myself from this relationship because this person's not taking me down the path that God wants me to walk." Get behind me, Satan, might not be the words we use, but it should be the heart position that we have that says, no, not today. I'm going to follow Jesus. Second thing that I won't let my friends do is I won't let my friends continually tempt me to sin. I won't let my friends continually tempt me to sin. You know, we read a story in the book of Genesis about a man named Joseph. And Joseph works in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar has a wife who starts to get the hots for Joseph, right? And we see that she tries to entrap him and trick him and say, "Come to bed with me." And Joseph continually resists her until this one moment in chapter 39, verse 12, when we see that Potiphar's wife caught Joseph by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Guys and girls who are in here today, are you willing to run out of the house when someone you're hanging around with is tempting you to sin? Be willing to run out of the house. If you realize that your friends, the people you're spending time with regularly, are causing you to be tempted, get out of there. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to cause you to feel tempted. Two things I won't let my friends do: distract me from God's plan or continually tempt me to sin. But there's another commitment that goes along with that. One thing that I'm going to commit to never stop doing. I will never stop loving people with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. Even when my friends hurt me, even when I'm betrayed, even when I found out that they said something behind my back, Even when there's a relationship that I know that I need to distance myself from, that doesn't mean I need to be unloving towards that person. I will always ask the question, in this relationship, what does love require of me? God, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me courage to do what love requires. I will never stop loving people with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. A couple questions as we close today. For you to consider over the friendships that you have in your life. Are my friends helping me become a better follower of Jesus? And I'm going to encourage you tonight, if the answer is no, you need to rethink your circle of friends. Another question, do my friends know Jesus better and follow Jesus better because they're spending time with me? And if the answer is no, you need to rethink the type of friend that you're being to the people around you. Amen? It's all so that we can become better followers of Jesus Christ, so that we can love him more deeply, so that we can follow him more closely, and so that the way we live our life and treat our friends will speak to the people around us who do not know Jesus and know what it looks like to love him and follow him through the way we interact with our friends. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what your word teaches us about friendships, about relationships. God, I pray tonight that based on what we've heard, that you would give us wisdom to know what we need to do about it. Give us courage to be able to make tough decisions about the people that we're hanging out with. Give us strength to be able to resist temptation. Help us, Lord, place the right people in our path that will help us follow you more deeply, more closely, more lovingly. And as we close tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're someone that says, you know what, I think I need to take a look, a serious close look at my circle of friends, and I'm asking tonight for the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom, strength, and guidance to be able to improve the way I am a friend to the people around me and the way I surround myself with spiritual friends. Slip your hand up where you are. Amen. God, you see these hands. Help those people. Give them wisdom. Give them strength. Give them courage. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.